Now, our next presentation will be from Mr. Shao Tice.
Well, it's good to be here with you today. I'm going to talk a little bit about some sweet corn work. This is work that was done by a graduate student of mine, Kyle Schmidt, who finished up his degree program in the spring of this year, and the other co-authors are all at NC State who contributed to this work. There are many contributions, of course, that can contribute to the yield of sweet corn. Different kinds of cultural practices certainly influence that. Irrigation, fertilization, pest control, and what we're going to talk about today is plant population or density. And hopefully, as in that picture, you achieve a density that you're shooting for and don't have the missing plants like you have there, let alone trying to get the plant population density that you're, you know, which one do you choose if you were able to get perfect stands. Another thing besides planting density that we were interested in was planting arrangement, whether we would use a standard single row planting system or a twin row planting system. Basically, the photo at the right, the center part would be the center to center spacing that we would try to use between those two rows. But the idea is that you'd have more area per plant by using a twin row spacing, and therefore more ability to absorb the nutrients and the moisture should that become a little bit more limiting and you don't get your irrigation there and on time. This was an interest by this particular grower who we work with. There has been other work done, particularly on agronomic crops. It has been shown some success with cotton and soybean. But in some of the earlier work and recent work done about this time, it has not really been shown to have much success either with corn or sweet corn. So what were our objectives? One of them was to look at the plant population density on sweet corn yield and the ear quality. We also wanted to look at the planting arrangement, single versus twin row arrangement on sweet corn yield and quality, and then which plant population density would maximize revenue. Looking at the economics is very important. It's one thing to have a lot of yield. It's another thing to have it be economically feasible for that particular person growing it. And again, considering both yield and quality. What sets this particular study apart? Because there have been other studies that have been worked on with sweet corn, and those are listed at the top of this slide. But the two things that were a little bit different is number one, we wanted to quantify the effects of plant population density on secondary ear production. Some growers will harvest secondary ears, others will not. And the grower is particularly interested because certain varieties or maybe the plant density influence this. And so that was one of the objectives. A second objective that kind of differentiates this is to look at those economics regarding planting density, as I mentioned. And then we were sort of reassessing or reevaluating the effects of plant density to North Carolina growing conditions and the newer hybrids with respect to yield and ear quality, as well as the planting arrangement, the single versus the twin row systems. We used a randomized complete block design, 4 replications in a test. We had 2 tests. One study was planted early when normally the planting would be made in the spring when it's cooler, probably less stress was the idea there. The grower would then come up in and end his sequential plantings around the middle of May and wind up at the later part of July. That's when his markets would usually come into effect. And you can see that we had 83 days after planting in the early study or test, and then we had 70 days after planting, so you know you had more heat units that in that second study. We used SAS analysis, the Tukey-Kramer procedure used for mean separation. We used regression analysis on the plant density treatments to separate those, and I'll show an integration of both of those throughout this presentation. The densities, we've got some English units for those who are metric illiterate. They're a little more common at least to use. But basically 29,000 to 79,000 was the range in about 10,000 plants per hectare increments. six different ranges there that you see. Cultivars, we used two trunk and two types. Both of them were 79 days. One was Obsession, the other was Garrison. The row arrangement or type, single versus twin row. We used a Wintersteiger Precision Space Planter. It's from Europe. Piece is about $125,000 piece of equipment behind those guys that are standing there. And the guy on the right is actually the student, Kyle Schmidt. The location was out near the Outer Banks in the Blackland soils. You can kind of see that behind him, maybe, the color, around Swan Quarter. And it's where a lot of our production is. North Carolina, just to give you perspective, is about $13 million in value in 2011. Not a huge amount of sweet corn produced there compared to other places like Florida, Georgia, New York, and some of those other fresh market sales states. We had plots that were 30 feet long, 12 feet wide, four rows per plot for the single row configuration, eight rows for the twin row. We harvested two middle rows for the single row configuration, the middle four rows for the twin row, and we did not harvest on the ends. We also left those end buffer plants when we harvested as well because it was a planting density study. Yield breakdown. USDA says a fancy ear is basically 15.2 centimeters or English units 6 inches or more in length. This grower far exceeds those measures, and so we classified those into two categories: premium of 17.8 centimeters or 7 inches or more, or as we call them, marketable ears, which also met the USDA fancy grade of 15.2 to 17.8 centimeters or 6 to 7 inches in length. We harvested all the primary ears initially, and then we came back and those that were approximately at least the marketable ear size, 6 inches or more, we came back and took secondary ears on another go-through on the harvest. Growers will sometimes harvest primary ears, sometimes they won't. Sometimes the pickers aren't as well educated to know how to pick one of those well enough that that would not end up on the market at the other end of the retail side and it doesn't meet specs. But then it's quite different, that feel, for somebody who grows for a roadside stand or a fresh market situation where about anything might go. But we have to come up with some limitations to get reasonable comparisons here. So let's go into the results. This was a regression equation, a quadratic response. This is the premium ears, those 7 inches and above. We had about an 80% fit. It was actually very, very good over both test planting sites. And basically what you see is anywhere from 30 to 60,000 ears in yield at the low population up to about 60,000 at the high. We didn't quite, with the formula, hit the highest predictable amount, which was 81,000. So we were pretty close to that where it started to level off. This was for, and notice the 30 to 60,000 yield in primary ears, the longer ears. Shorter ears, we had slightly different responses, not quite as nice of a fit. For planting site one, it was a linear response, and it was just continuing to go and go and go as far as the increase in those ears. But notice that there was much less percentage of those ears compared to the premium ears, no more than 5,000 or so ears compared to 60,000 at the high plant population. So it made up a much smaller component. Planting site two, again, fairly similar response. It was a quadratic where it sort of abode at the lower end of the plant population spectrum, but at the higher it kind of was a more linear type of response, and increasing as planting density increased, the number of ears that were shorter. Let's move into the secondary ears, which is something that's a little bit different. These were all influenced by planting site, population density, variety, and the row configuration or type. They're all significant, and they're separated out there for the first planting site and the second planting site. And you can see that it shows up very nicely as the planting density increases or your plant population increases. there's many fewer ears. It differs in the sites generally due to magnitude that happened to occur for those two different testings, locations or sites. There was a difference in variety. The Obsession had fewer secondary ears than Garrison. The grower kind of suspected Garrison produced more secondary ears. And when it comes to the row type, we had more of the secondary ears produced on the single row configuration than on the twin row. So let's summarize yield real quickly. The longer or the premium ears, the predicted maximum was 81,000 plants per hectare. With in response to increasing plant density, that led to increased yields as the premium ears. We had also increase of marketable ears. We didn't really get a predicted maximum because our populations didn't go up that high to show that. But we did get a decreased yield, the opposite effect, on the number of secondary ears that were produced. Now, the other thing we looked at was the quality, and I'll just go over two of those things that I think are pretty good to look at. One was ear weight. And if you look at the planting density, the response says you increase your planting density, the ear weight was less. So that kind of makes sense for both sites, the first and the second planting sites. In variety, we had lower ear weight for Garrison. And for the row type, we had slightly, not much, although it was statistically significant, less ear weight when harvested from twin rows. Another measure that we looked at that sort of goes a little bit hand in hand, I would say, is the effect of plant population density on ear length. Similar type of results. As the plant population increased, the ear length was reduced. If you think of pickling cucumbers for mechanical harvest, and I work a lot with that, as your planting population increases and throughout the literature, the length of the cucumbers will be reduced as the pickling cucumber population increases. Same thing is true here with sweet corn. So summary on quality. Increasing plant population density leads to decrease in ear length and ear width. Take-home message is increasing plant population density decreases ear quality. So conclusion over those, increasing the plant population density results in increased ear yield and decreased ear quality. Farmers need to make money, so they got to marry the two together. They got to find a balance. How might we might look at that? That's where we did a little bit of an economic analysis on that and considered this. The way we did that is we combined the premium and the marketable ears, which basically equaled the USDA fancy grade, and we combined the yield and the weight data, and we're able to determine then the 100 weights at each given plant population. The average price per 100 weight was then calculated, and you could then determine what the revenue was. We then did a very simple calculation, and the seed, how much was planted for a given population, that cost was then subtracted. So in a very simple way, what did we find? You see that the range is from $6,000 to about $12,000 per hectare as planting populations increased. I think one of the key things you need to see is that at $59,000, you see that there's not a lot of increase in the revenue to the grower. You see pretty good incremental increases from $29,000 to $59,000 as far as return to the grower. Looking at it a little different way, if you look at the percent increase in revenue versus what you up your population from in the previous population. So, for example, the 39,000 population bar that you see is from 29 to 39,000, 25% increase in revenue to the grower, from 39 to 49,000, a 15% or so increase, still about double-digit increase of 10% from 49 to 59,000, but then you don't see much increase. It's single-digit. There's not a lot of coming back to the grower for the extra risk that they're putting in as far as putting out more plant population. So, overall conclusions, increasing the population density, the yield of economically valuable years increases, the yield of secondary ears decreases, the ear weight and the length or quality decreases. When you use twin rows, there was no real effect on yield in terms of economically valuable years. The yield of secondary ears decreased a little bit, and the ear weight decreased. And finally, if we go ahead and look at those conclusions and consider the economic analysis and what we might recommend as far as planting density, the revenue gains were much smaller for increases beyond the 59,000 plants per hectare. So our contention is we don't need to incur unnecessary losses due to lesser ear quality. And number two, you don't need to have the risk if you should moisture become more of a concern. We did not have lack of moisture in this test. We had plenty of rain, overabundance of rain, actually, so that was not at stake here. And we would recommend that under good optimal growing conditions, 59,000 plants per hectare would be optimal to produce both the highest revenue and the highest quality ears. That's it. Anybody got a question?
I just want to ask you, when you go to these higher densities, did you see an increase in like insect and disease problems or difficulty in spraying your crop?
Okay, the question is, were there difficulties in pest management when we went to the twin row system or higher densities? The answer in the higher density, no, we didn't see that. But with the twin row, that was more of an issue. Not only was there more difficulty from a pest management point of view, but it was harder to find the ears for the pickers, actually, because of the way they were configured. They couldn't see them as well as in a single row system. That's a little extra that we didn't get into this, but that's a good question. Yes?
When do you fall solid and planted per acre compared to what currently used?
How does 24,000 plants per acre or the 59,000 plants per hectare compare? It compares very much to what we recommend. So actually, growers will use some variations, but 24,000 is real close to what a lot of them are using at the upper end.
What was the total
nitrogen input? And the answer is I don't know right off the top of my head. I'd have to ask that grower or go back to the thesis. I don't remember that.
One last question.
Do I anticipate that varieties might respond differently? Probably they would to some extent, a little bit, but I think you could use this as a pretty general guide to be pretty close to that amount. Okay?
Thank you.